Well, just over the past week, the data has been pretty constructive in some ways. We've still got strong data coming out of the US, particularly in things like leading indicators. You know, we had the ISM non-manufacturing and manufacturing sector surveys came out last week, and they actually beat pretty optimistic expectations. So the leads are that, you know, the US economy is going to continue growing strongly. Just in what those figures were, the ISM manufacturing survey for May went up to 61.2 from 60.7. Anything above 60 is really strong. And it was a touch stronger than the market expected. The services sector ISM is moving into the mid-60s, so it went from 62.7 to 64, which was a 4 percentage point higher than the market expected. And we're still getting strong leads about the labour market from things like initial jobless claims that came out and was the lowest one so far in the recovery cycle at 385,000. But then we had the non-farm payrolls, which say, yeah, we're getting good figures, but you know, just not spectacularly good. So we had the non-farm payrolls rose by 559,000. Market was looking for 650,000 there, so a bit underneath that. There was an upward revision to the previous month, which was also a little bit of a disappointment at 266,000 when it first came out. That was revised up to 278,000. We still had the unemployment rate coming down, so the unemployment rate came down to 5.8% from 6.1%. But those are the sorts of numbers that suggest that, you know, the Fed, much like the RBA, talking about tight labour markets being the precondition before they start to think about really tightening policy, that it's still some way off before we get a really tight labour market, which suggests that any blip upwards in inflation is going to be sustaining over the longer term. Having said that, this week we'll get some evidence on the inflation blip. And we've got the May CPI coming out, probably going to be the key figure of the week. It comes out on Thursday this week. And you may recall that going back to April, we had that surge in inflation. We had the headline inflation rate up 0.8% in the month and the core inflation rate up 0.9. That 0.9 was the highest monthly reading for core inflation since 1982. And we had both the annual rates really moving up. We had the headline inflation rate, annual inflation rate, at 4.2% year on year, and the core inflation rate went up to 3% year on year. Well, it's going to go up further with the May number. And so the May readings at this stage, the market's looking for 0.4% month on month for both of those. That's both for the headline and the core reading. And if that's where they come in, you're going to get the headline CPI going up to 4.7% year on year from 4.2, and the core inflation rate up to 3.4 from 3.0. Now, Fed's view is that this is all temporary supply chain stuff, which is causing problems with producer prices. It's going to be there for a period, and then it's going to fall out. And so, you know, what you're seeing in terms of this blip, they're going to try and read through it. The only problem is, you know, if we get anything on the upside of these expectations, you know, it wouldn't take much to get the annual CPI above 5% at this point. And that's a little bit harder to explain away. And the worry then becomes is how long will it stay up at that level before it starts to come back again. So for the time being, the bond markets are buying the central bank story. And so, you know, we've had bond yields actually coming back a bit over the course of the past week. But you know, these are key numbers this week, watching to see just exactly where those come in. And yeah, my view is it's going to be a bit bumpy from time to time. Now, there is something of a paradox in all this. The higher these inflation readings go in the very near term, the lower inflation will be in a year's time. And it's a very simple thing that if you really pump up the base for the annual calculation in what we're seeing this year, you know, you'd be very hard pressed to get higher inflation, monthly inflation readings in a year's time. So you're going to get inflation definitely clattering down. So in that sense, you know, the central banks are right that you know, you will get some pullback in that inflation rate, but still watching this with some care. On Friday, we also get some consumer sentiment data, and that still looks pretty good in the United States, probably around 84 from 82.9 going back the month before. Out of China last week, we had some purchasing managers' reports, and their economy is going pretty well. It's consistent with GDP growth, which currently is running over 18% year-on-year. That'll settle back to around about the 6-ish mark as we go through the late part of this year. Still very respectable, still a pretty strong growth rate. And the manufacturing PMI is consistent with that. We had the official manufacturing PMI, the private sector Kaixin survey as well. And they both were around the same level that they were the month before. The official one went from 51.1 to 51, so just edged back up a tenth of a point. And the Kaixin survey went the other way, went from 51.9 to 52. In expansionary territory, but not a long way in expansionary territory, so jogging along the Chinese economy. Having said that, the services sector is doing pretty well in China. We had a little bit of a discrepancy between the official reading and the private sector reading. The official reading suggested there was a slight improvement from 54.9 to 55.2. The private sector reading suggested that it went the other way and came down from 56.3 to 55.1. Whichever way you look at it, you're running 55s on the readings, and that's still pretty strong reading as far as growth indications are coming there from China. This week, on Tuesday morning, tomorrow morning, we'll get their trade data. Trade's been doing pretty well for China, better than many people expected. And that's reflected in the expectations for the May export and import readings we've got this week. We've got exports which were up 32.3% year-on-year, going back to April. That's expected to come back, but only a touch, to 32.1%. So they really are blistering along. Given that China's such a big manufacturer for the world, it's not surprising, given that global economic growth is really starting to pick up pace now, led by developed economies in particular. And on the import side, which is reflects sort of demand growing inside China, these were really moving along, going back a month ago at 43.1% year-on-year. Expected to lift further to 51.5% year-on-year. So they're really drawing in a lot of raw materials from overseas to feed the growth rate that they've got running there at the moment. They can bluster and puff and blow with their major trading partners like us, and can knock off peripherals like things like barley and wine, in their view. But the major stuff which keeps their growth rate going, they really can't mess much with that. And that's reflecting in our trade data too. That's holding up very well, even to China, in the trade data we're getting for Australia. On Wednesday, they've got their inflation readings coming through. The headline inflation rates for the CPI still looking okay. It will go up. It'll go up to about 1.6%, but that's not big by international comparison these days, from 0.9%. A bit more of a worry on producer prices, though, remembering that their producer prices have a habit of feeding into retail prices around the world, because these are largely manufacturers going out into trade. The producer price index is expected to lift from 6.8% year-on-year to 8.5% year-on-year. And this is where the niggle is with the central bank's inflation story. Wherever we look around the world, producer prices are really starting to motor. And at some point, that has to get locked into the CPI, particularly if you've got pricing power for companies. And of course, whilst you've got demand racing along, their pricing power is actually growing. And so the chances of this starting to get lodged into CPIs is becoming higher. So that's something which we'll be looking at and keeping an eye open for quite some time to come. It's not just a case of wages that the central banks are insisting that sustainable inflation is all about. Australia, our data last week, we had a huge amount of it, but I'll just look at the key readings. And the biggest one, of course, was GDP. We had a lot of private sector demand coming through. We had capital expenditure up by 4.7% quarter on quarter. Total consumer spending, that's government and households, up by 0.7. So between those two, they were the drivers for a pretty spectacular 1.8% quarter-on-quarter GDP reading. That came after 3.2% for the quarter before. And it's lifted our annual GDP growth rate out of the negative. It was at minus 1% on revision going back to Q4 last year, the year-on-year. That's now lifted to plus 1.1%. So in no time flat, literally in 6 months, we've recovered everything that was lost in that deep recession going back to last year, and we're still growing. That was a strength that ran through those numbers, and there still seems to be plenty of firepower left. The household savings ratio came down just a touch, but not much in the most recent quarter. So there's still plenty of excess savings, which can feed into future growth here as far as Australia is concerned. We had the RBA meeting. And the RBA meeting left things unchanged. Everybody's watching the July meeting to see if there's a bit of a taper on what they say about quantitative easing in particular. Chances are there may be a little bit of that, but as far as the key rates are concerned, they don't appear to be looking at touching any of those for quite some time. And they reinforced their message about inflation by just tweaking the wording a bit in the statement that came out with saying that wages growth was low in the most recent reading. So they're trying to reinforce that message that they're not for moving in terms of interest rates in the near term. Just watching that, with some care, because obviously when we drive the economy as fast as we're going at the moment, that can come through. We had some more data on the housing side, right at the leading edge of our growth rate, and we had home building approvals. There was a pullback in those in the month of April, not surprisingly, given they rose 18.9% on revision for the previous month. They were down by 8.9% for the most recent month, but volatile series, and expect those to bump around a bit. Then we had the April housing finance data came out at the very end of the week, and these were phenomenally strong again. Total housing finance commitments rose by 3.7%. They're now up 68.2% year on year. And even though we had quite a catch-up running through investor finance over the last few months, is still largely owner-occupier housing finance. Not so much the first-time home buyers now, but the people are trading up. And the housing finance for owner-occupiers was up 4.3% in the month and 70.1% year-on-year. So, these are right at the leading edge of the housing boom. And, even though we've got some moderation running through house price change, still we've got house prices, which every capital city you look at around Australia on the most recent monthly figures rose more than 1% in the month. So it's a moderation, but back to still 1% lift. These figures suggest that there's still a bit of firepower going through the housing market. Although the drivers are shifting, it's moving more towards the investors in the housing market. The first-time home buyers who were really driving this earlier on have literally been priced out, and so they're starting to fall back over the last few months. Some of the other data too, we had April retail trade. As the preliminary figures suggested, it was up 1.1% after being up 1.3%, so this is moving along pretty swiftly at the moment. And because April last year was the worst month, retail sales are now up 20% year-on-year. That won't last, but even on ones, you're annualising well above 12%. On year-on-year for retail trade, so still very much a driving force running through growth at the moment. And we also had the most recent international trade data, and we had an expansion in our trade surplus for the month to just over $8 billion from $5.8 billion the month before. Exports rose by 3%. And interestingly, the strongest month again for growth in exports was to China, even though we got a trade dispute with them. And imports came down by 3%. So still a lot of strength running through the international trade side as well. This week in Australia, a lot of surveys of various forms. We've got the ANZ Job Ads survey coming out today. ANZ Job Ads currently running at a 12-year high. They rose last month by 4.7%. They probably rose again this month. They're indicative too of a lot of businesses are finding it hard to actually fill positions at the moment in various parts of the country. We also have the May NAB Business Confidence Business Conditions. Now, they took this survey before the lockdown in Victoria, so it's probably going to be strong again. It was a record high for both readings going back to April, that plus 26 for business confidence, and business conditions was at plus 32. These are record highs by quite a margin too, but that's expected to get even stronger still. Then we'll get one which will reflect the lockdown in Victoria, and that's June Westpac consumer sentiment. It did come back last month a touch by 4.8%, but was still mighty close to a 12-year high for consumer sentiment. It's probably going to come down a little bit further. And finally, in Europe, we had some producer price indices. These are rising pretty strongly now. Interestingly, the manufacturing PMI is stronger than in the US. It's gone up to 63.1 from 62.8. We had the services sector PMI, which jumped from 50.5 to 55.2. So Europe's starting to come out of lockdown now, and with confidence with vaccination rates that they're not going back there again. And so going into summer months as well, we're going to see the mother and father of a lift in economic growth running through much of Europe over the next few months, and in optimism coming through there. And dare I say it, in rotation, you're going to see some pretty spectacular improvement running through their equity markets as well. This is the next cab off the rank for a very, very large lift in economic activity as we go ahead. We have got a little bit of pressure, as we have everywhere, with inflation. So the May CPI came out. It lifted from 1.6% to 2%. And producer prices. These are something which bear watching everywhere. The producer prices came out. They were at 4.3% year-on-year, going back to the month of March. We thought there'd be a big jump to 7.3%. It jumped even more than that, 7.6%. So this is the growing story around the world that we've got massive demand coming through just about everywhere, and some of it being reinforced not just by policy prescription, but also by the fact that restrictions are coming off, and we're growing confidence that vaccination rates mean that they won't be coming back again, and supply just can't keep up. And so this is the pressure point that runs for prices almost everywhere. This week in Europe, we get some various sentiment readings. We get the June Sentix Investor Confidence Survey on Monday. That's expected to lift to plus 26 from plus 21. We get the ZEW Economic Sentiment for June. That jumped to 84 last month. It's probably going to get even higher for the most recent month. We've also got the ECB meeting. Obviously, the ECB will be doing nothing at the moment, but it'll just be interesting to see what they say about some of these pressure points that are coming through in terms of the inflation rate. So watching all these things as we move ahead. And, it's still obviously a very, very favourable environment still, even at elevated levels for risk assets through the course of this week. And it's been made even more so because the bond market for the time being is buying the central bank story that inflation's a blip.